Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, January 12, 2016. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am most excellent this morning. Thank you.
Awesome. And it's great to have you here. Also, Dave Hamilton, it's great to have you too.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm glad you're both here. I always love the insight you guys bring to the show, and I just have a feeling it's going to be fun today. Just a good old fun time. I thought we could start out with the news that Apple has released iOS 9.3 for developers, not for us, meaning the regular users, but iOS 9.3 has made it into developers' hands. That's in and of itself just, you know, par for the course and not a big deal. It's what's in 9.3 that to me is a big deal.
Well, and also the way Apple made sure this news broke about 9.3 getting into developers' hands, they put up their own page about it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's what I'm seeing in iOS 9.3 to me is significant enough that this could have been part of the iOS 10 announcement.
Definitely. Because not the entirety of it, but part of it for sure.
Right. Yeah. It's not common that Apple releases significant new features mid-cycle with iOS.
That's true.
Yeah, and that's what we're getting. We have the new night vision thing, which if you're familiar with Flux, it's like that. So what it does is it kind of pulls the blue cast out of your screen and warms the colors, so they shift a little more towards red. And the idea is that when you do this for night viewing, it has less of an impact on the circadian rhythm, and so if you're looking at your screen late at night, it's less likely to cause sleep issues.
Yeah,
and I'm very interested in seeing that, especially because I at one point had to set a rule for myself that after like 8 o'clock or 8:30 at night, I couldn't have any screens on, like television.
Well, yeah, with
computer,
all your sleep issues,
iPhone
and stuff. Sure.
So, is this sufficient to avoid losing your night vision?
It's not so much about losing night vision as it is about the color that's hitting your eyes and the color that our brain expects us to be seeing at certain times of day. So it's shifting the light towards the end of the spectrum where it's more like what we would be experiencing in the evening.
Yeah, less daylight. Our iPhone screen, you know, in a general sense, the bluer the light, the more like daylight it is. And it does. It messes with your head. It's also why it's sometimes nice to put daylight bulbs in like places like your kitchen to make it an alert and awake and you know, vibrant kind of place in the house.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I totally agree. So there's that. There are nice improvements to health, which lets you actually see the data from your Apple Watch.
Yeah, because it's tough to see the data. The health dashboard, I don't know. I guess it's a good start, and I'm glad to see Apple paying attention to it and not just leaving it as it was.
I'm totally with you there.
Yeah.
And especially as I find myself using my Fitbit less and less, I want to have easy access to all of this information that I'm collecting in a way that is not difficult to parse through.
Why are you using your Fitbit less and less, Jeff?
The button that controls what I can look at on the little display is failing. Also, I can't put it into sleep mode hardly ever because the button is failing.
And then
by the time I got into the security line at the airport to go to CES, I had broken the belt clip. So,
but you still need it for sleep monitoring, which the Apple Watch doesn't do. So you'll probably get a new one?
No. I actually stopped using my Apple Watch for sleep monitoring, and I'm using an iPhone app called Sleep Cycle, and pretty soon I'm going to start testing the sleep monitoring systems that actually lay on your mattress. So my Fitbit is kind of going away, but I'm taking us down a rat hole with that. One of the huge things that, we're getting in iOS 9.3 is multi-user support. Now, granted, it's limited to the education market. But on an iPad, you can now pick up any iPad that's part of the school system that you're in, log in, and it's your iPad.
Oh, that's so huge.
Cool. That is so
cool. I didn't see that in the list. It's at the bottom of the list, and I hadn't made it there. That's huge.
People have been asking for that for years, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, I assumed before the first iPad arrived that it would be a multi-user device. In fact, you know, I bought the first iPad just because I needed to have one, but I didn't expect it to be such a personal
device. We assumed it would be the Unix that we knew and loved.
Well, I assumed it would just be a coffee table device where anybody would pick it up and browse the web and do whatever they wanted and then put it back down. It never made it to my coffee table. I don't even have a coffee table, so I don't know why I thought of that. But
it's a nice metaphor or euphemism.
It is.
You thought of it as a coffee table device, and Apple thought of it as underpants.
Yeah, exactly. And it turns out Apple was right. But there are environments like third grade where it's not good to see each other's underpants, and it's better to have things on the coffee table.
That's right.
It seems to me that Apple is responding to some criticisms that they received late last year about attention to detail and having iOS 9 grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
This is good.
It's good.
I think it's good. I also find it fascinating because now I'm left wondering, are these features Apple wanted in iOS 9 but couldn't deliver initially? Are they features they've been working on, they were planning on putting in iOS 10, but instead decided to roll out early? And if that's the case, is Apple changing how they're going to update iOS? So we're getting big features throughout the year, and then when iOS 10 and then iOS 11 and iOS 12 come out, they won't be as significant changes as we've seen in the past.
I think I can answer that question because a birdie on my shoulder told me, look at slide over and split screen and picture in picture as indicators that Apple is working on maturing iOS as a result of the iPad Pro capabilities.
This podcast has made me realize something, though. Think about, we need to savor in the moment of the ease of explanation that we have at this point in time. Because come June, in fact, when Apple will presumably announce the next major revision to iOS, we will be talking about iOS 9, because that's what's out. We will be talking about OS 10, 10.11 El Capitan, right? Because that's what's out. And then we will be talking about OS 10, 10.12, you name it.
And I'm going to call it Long's Peak.
Perfect.
Even though it's not in California.
Sure. And
Mojave.
Wait for it. Now, we're not going to get into a naming thing because this is far more important.
Right.
We will be talking about iOS 10. So we will have OS 10, 10.12, and iOS 10 out next year.
So what tea leaves are you reading there?
I'm not reading any tea leaves. I'm looking at how twisted my tongue is going to be trying to make sure people understand when I say iOS 10 that I'm not talking about the operating system that's running on my Mac, because they neglected to hear the I that was very quick and otherwise insignificant.
What you made me think of was that when Apple ponders the idea that it's iOS 10 and they have OS 10, that there will be some celebratory and
merging?
Sensational, no, not merging, but celebratory features in iOS 10 that will that merit, you know, a big splash.
iOS 10. Every time you say it, my skin crawls because I just know
it's going to be a big deal.
What kind of a disaster it's going to be to talk about this.
Yes. Well, I mean, look at how difficult it is to talk about MacBooks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How many times have I said MacBook Air when I meant iPad Air?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There's, you want to talk about merging, it just happens in your mind before it happens in reality. So, yeah. Anyway, that's all I have to say on that subject.
Oh, man. All right. Well, now, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to say 9.3 adds a couple other things too, right? It adds some enhancements to, well, it had some privacy enhancements. It adds Touch ID to notes, which is nice to see. And and then also videos now inside of the news app, which is great. I know, and I know we have a lot of TMO readers that read it, read TMO inside news. So that's a good news.
I had a dream last night. I dreamt I picked up a magazine and there were moving pictures that you could touch and tap right on the paper. And there was something cool inside the paper that allowed it to run a video with the little, you know, play button right there in the magazine.
That's called Harry Potter, weird
dream?
John.
Yeah, I know. Is that a weird dream? I play with too many iPads.
Not for you. Yeah, not for you.
And CarPlay stuff is being improved.
CarPlay's improved. Yep.
Which is good. I mean, not a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people are experiencing CarPlay yet. I'm not hearing from lots of people that experience it. But I feel like, you know, it's good that they're improving it even without there being, you know, this mass adoption yet. Because I think it's coming this year especially.
Well, yeah, and I think Apple's expecting that too. You know, they put out that new web page that lists car makers and models.
Yeah.
Whereas previously, all they had was a cluster of logos for car makers. So I'm expecting that we're going to see that list grow quickly.
Yep.
Yeah. And now, even though I hadn't even thought about the OS 10 versus iOS 10 at the same time thing. Thank you, Dave.
Can you stop doing that? Can we? Let's agree that for 6 months we're not going to have to live with that.
Okay.
Right.
Yes, I agree to this. I like this. what I will say is the next version of iOS that I will not name, I'm really curious to see what kinds of features it has. Is it going to be something that's like over the top amazing because 9.3 will have already been released, or is it going to feel just like a incremental update?
Or maybe Apple's putting it off for a year, and there will only be point upgrades to 9.x over the next year, saving us from this impending doom.
I kind of like this idea.
What I want is Jan Dawson's, I give him credit because he's the first person who mentioned it, PadOS. I want to see PadOS at WWDC that forks out a version of iOS for the iPad Air, iPad Pro, for the iPad Pro and its successors. Which will have individual user accounts and be more Unix-y and better home screen management.
That sounds kind of interesting, although I don't know how I feel about forking iOS.
Well, it's been done. I mean, we've got tvOS and watchOS. We might as well have padOS because treating the iPad Pro like a big phone doesn't work anymore. Never did.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, yeah.
And it solves the problem of iOSification too.
Yeah. Huh. All right, I'll sit on it. The idea will grow on me, and when Apple
we can
does
certainly
it.
Talk about PadOS before we can talk about the next iteration of iOS, which shall not be named.
Let's just start calling it Voldemort OS.
Voldemort, that's right.
All right, everyone. So now you know when we start talking about Voldemort OS, you know what we're talking about.
It's iOS Voldemort. That's all it
iOS
is.
iOS Voldemort. There we go. Yes. Hey, there's other stuff that I thought would be interesting to talk about today too. And one of the things that I'm going to do, I want to jump back to yesterday a little bit because there's more about CES that we didn't get to dive into. And John, you had a topic area that you were like really interested in.
Well, there's two topics of interest to me that I didn't get to. And one is anti-collision systems in cars. It's called V2V, like vehicle to vehicle. And when cars start coming in within proximity of each other, they're able to communicate with each other, and they do this handshaking thing. And so if they start on a collision course in an intersection, the two cars talk to each other, and one of them says, I'm going to stop, and the other one says, I have the right of way, I'm going to go. And that's one of the reasons why CES is turning into a car show, is because of autonomous cars and sophisticated technologies like V2V. And the other thing that I'm interested in is the emergence of small personal robots. And the one I have in mind is from Aldebaran, which caught my eye, called Pepper. And this is a little 3-foot robot, I think, roughly, that is cute. And it doesn't do the dishes and it doesn't do the vacuuming, but it's mobile and it can talk to you. And it's powered by Watson.
And IBM's Watson.
It's designed, right? And it's designed to recognize body language, and it's designed to recognize emotions in people and be empathetic and be a companion. This is a big thing in Japan. SoftBank mobile stores in Japan are going to be using Pepper as a concierge welcoming device. And I think this is a great way to start off our career with robots in terms of these friendly little companions. I've always had this vision in my mind of children being accompanied by personal robots to school. Imagine a personal robot that can record, that can come to the kid's defense. It's going to be the end of bullying. Not that the robot's going to be strong enough to fight off a bully, but the robot will be there to report and to record.
Oversight. Yeah.
Oversight, yes, right, and report back to parents and to advise and counsel the child and so on, while still being, you know, not an overpowering physical monstrosity or a danger. So I like this direction that they're taking, and I'll be writing more about them.
Cool. Yeah, the whole thing with robotics and where it's headed, I really find to be fascinating, because we're at this point right now where I think there's a lot of people that have the kind of Star Wars vision of what robots will be, where
totally autonomous and
where they're autonomous, they're essentially sentient.
Yeah, that's a better word. Yeah,
and people can interact with them on a very emotional level.
We have a long way to go before robots have the capacity to be sentient, pass the Turing test on their own, and to be imposing physical devices. Right now, the industry, I think, is correctly focusing on assistance, companionship, and slowly moving towards care, perhaps, of elderly people and things like that. All the good things we want from robots, and trying to stay away from the scary scenarios that we see in science fiction.
Yeah, I'm with you on a lot of this. I keep coming back to your example about robots stopping bullying on the playground or in schools. And don't get me wrong, if there was never another incident of bullying, I would be an extremely happy person. But if we begin relying on... things are bad enough right now with the, you know, every child is a special flower and every child gets a trophy mentality that I've seen persist. And it may be waning already. And if so, that's a good thing. But there are a lot of kids, and I have kids that are 14 and 16, and I've seen as they've kind of grown up through school that there's been too much coddling, if you know, for lack of a better term. So I worry if we put robots in that role, you know, kids, humans need to learn how to interact with each other with an appropriate level of supervision. And I feel like it would be possible for a robot to provide, a personal robot, as you described, to provide too much of that supervision. So we have to be very careful. It doesn't mean we can't have them. It just means... We need to be careful what the result of our painted panacea is.
Yeah, as with any technology.
As with any technology, correct.
The manufacturers have to have an appropriate vision. We saw how personal information and the internet and connectivity got away from us in terms of privacy on our phones and so on. So we're going to have to navigate the robots very carefully. Otherwise, we'll have robots spying on us and looking into our underwear and finding out where our money's hidden and reporting back to the mothership and doing all sorts of nasty things.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like anything. It's not that I believe that, like, to Jeff's point, that they'll be immediately sentient and all of that. I mean, let's face it, we as humans have trouble relating emotionally to each other. I'm not convinced we're ready yet to relate emotionally to manufactured beings. But
I think you're wrong. I think
like that, the other way.
I think people may have a predisposition to relating emotionally to robots. Look at the number of people that have cats and dogs.
Yeah, no, you're right.
There's an art in science and this AI technology to do that.
As soon as the words came out of my mouth, I thought, or this could be argued exactly the opposite.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I'm on the opposite side of the fence there, because from what I'm seeing, the robot manufacturers are taking a very special approach. I mean, you can see in the physical design, they keep the robot short. Even Asimov is only what, 4.5 feet tall. I think Pepper is about 3 feet. Mm-hmm. So they're keeping them non-physically imposing. They have big eyes, which makes them look like kittens or childlike beings that are, you know, sweet and friendly. And there's a real art and science there. Because if you're afraid of your robot, you're not going to buy it.
No, it's true. They need to. Well, it's like, you know, I mean, all the way back. Listen to us talk. Or listen to me talk. to the first iMac, right, where they put a handle on it, not because they expected you to lug that heavy thing around, but to make it feel more touchable.
Just think what'll happen when Jonathan Ive turns his attention to robots. Oh my God!
You know he already has. He must have.
My guess is that he has some sort of robot in his lab that, if nothing else, he's tinkering on and experimenting with.
Could be.
Come on. Of course he has.
They've
got more money than they know what to do with. Of course they're going to tinker with that kind of stuff.
Right.
And we kind of want them to.
I totally want them to. The idea of an Apple robot. Oh, man.
With Tim Cook's sense of values and Jonathan Ive's sense of design and Apple's history of integrity and privacy, oh, my God, they're the only company I'd trust.
Yeah, we want it next.
Yeah.
Somebody send Tim an email.
Yeah, I totally want that. I would love to – yeah, but I'm suddenly coveting – yesterday I coveted the MacBook. Today I'm coveting the robot that Apple hasn't made.
I got to stop showing up on this show.
This is getting really expensive for me, Dave.
We're spending money we don't have yet on products that don't yet exist.
God bless America.
God bless America.
Yeah. Hey, on that note, we are out of time.
Oh, was this fun or what?
I told you it was going to be fun today. John, thank you for being here.
You're very welcome.
And Dave, thank you for being here too.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. And hey, actually, if you're in Denver or Boulder today and you want to learn a little bit about podcasting, I have a podcasting class tonight, and I believe there's still a couple slots left. So I'll put a link in the show notes for everyone so that you can check it out, and I'll put a discount code in there too. Everyone, thank you for being here. We'll see you again tomorrow.